listening to the North Carolina Food and Beverage Podcast, coming to you from the kitchen studios located high atop the historic Raleigh Building, located in the heart of downtown Raleigh. The NCF&B Podcast takes you behind the scenes of North Carolina's food and beverage industry. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at NCFBPod. This episode is sponsored in part by FoodSeen. That's FoodSeen.com. Providing professional photography, social media management, video production, and website design. That's FoodSeen. And now, the sommeliers to the stars, the bar backs in your backyard, it is Max and Matt.
Hello, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Food and Beverage Podcast. I am your host, Max Trujillo, and today on the show, we want to talk about something that happens in restaurants, bars, nightclubs, and homes all around the world. What we are going to discuss is drug-facilitated sexual assault. So with that, in the studio, we have the CEO of Undercover Colors, Ms. Barbara Cook, along with Director of Research and Development, Nick Letourneau, and local business owner, former guest of the show, and my guest host on the show today, Mofu Shop's own Sophia Wu. Hello, Sophia.
Hello. How are you doing?
So we have to update the opener because it's not Max and Matt today. It's Max and Sophia. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Are we going to go back and edit that?
Yeah. That would actually be funny. It's Sophia. Thank you for being on the show. Most importantly, thank you for making me aware of today's guests in studio. You and I exchanged some emails and you're like, we got to talk about this. And I said, yeah. You're so passionate about this. I want you to be my guest host for this particular topic. And you were like, sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So maybe let's do it that way. I'm going to pitch it over to you and say, who do we have in studio and why are they here?
For sure. I hang out at Mofu a lot, of course. And just like with any business, there are certain nights that are busier than others. And, of course, a busy night is always fantastic for the business, fantastic for the restaurant. But what I love most is on a night where I have a little bit more time getting to speak with guests who come into the restaurant and are just in. I think a restaurant is a fantastic excuse for people to meet and hang out and connect. And one night, Barbara and her friend John came in to the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And we sat down, had a little bit of a talk that started with just, you know, what dinner was, how fantastic things were, how, Barbara and John enjoyed the space. And then the conversation took an interesting turn when we found out why Barbara is in Raleigh and what she does. And we started talking about Undercover Colors and, you know, the real issue that Undercover Colors sort of highlights. And something that's easy to disregard, considering we talk about and constantly are focusing on all the wonderful parts of the industry.
Yeah. So with that, and as I said earlier, we have the CEO, Barbara. You'll recognize her voice only because she's from jolly old England.
So thank you, first of all, for inviting us. We're very humbled to be here. And thank you, Sophia. And if anybody hasn't been to Mofu, go.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
By the way, thank you for all the dumplings you brought this morning that we're not eating.
I carry them in my pocket at all times.
Yeah. But first off, before we get completely all into it, simple question. What is Undercover Colors and how does it work?
So we have a very serious diagnostic test, in fact, that Nick and his team have created, which identifies if your drink has been spiked with drugs in under 3 minutes. In fact, at the 27-second marker, you know if your drink has been spiked. Mm. And the product works in over 100 beverages. And is created to identify the drugs used today. As awful as this whole premise is, that you cannot go out and socialize and enjoy the precious time that we all value so much without being in fear, the drugs that are used are really what's made available at the time, and so they will change over time. So our test not only tests in over 100 beverages, but has the flexibility for Nick and his team to augment the drugs as they come on scene. And as we've found with the amount of international interest we have, that potentially different parts of the world focus on different drugs. And in fact, 3 weeks ago, two girls in Paris died in a nightclub because they were drugged. So that's why we're here, and that's what we're here to talk about. And we're all about getting rid of this problem. We just want to stop drug-facilitated sexual assault. This is 2018. This should not be happening at any level, anywhere, at any time.
Nick, you designed it. Let us know exactly, like, how does it actually work?
Sure. So we base this technology on something similar to a pregnancy test. Now, we've kind of taken the technology behind the pregnancy test and evolved that to the next level. The technology is called lateral flow. We're calling this lateral flow 2.0. And what we've done is shrink the size by 90%. And that's allowed us to make the test much more portable, and it fits in your pocket. It's also much faster. So the principle behind how the test works is you've essentially got a tube that's got obstacles in it. You put the liquid in one end of the tube. As it flows through the tube, it encounters the obstacles, and depending on whether or not a drug is present, it interacts with that obstacle and sends a signal up, which you can read in the form of one line or two lines on the test.
That makes perfect sense to me. Yeah. I mean, we all rushed to the store after we thought my wife was pregnant. We know how these things work.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy to figure out. Now, initially, it wasn't this, though, right? It wasn't a tab. It was a nail polish designed by four gentlemen out of NC State. Is that right?
Yeah. Look, there was this fabulous concept by the students in NC State who said, we have to stop drug-facilitated sexual assault. There has to be a way to identify your drink as to whether it's been spiked. And wouldn't it be great if it was a nail polish or a nail, and that you could just dip in and you could see? That form was something that was a concept rather than a reality. And what they realized very quickly was that they did not have the technology or the scientific skill to create the test anyway. So they brought in Nick, the second genius thing they did. So the first was the idea, then they brought in the person. And what Nick has done is exactly how he's described to you. He's created this lateral flow 2.0, which is a miniaturized, accurate version. However, when we started looking at both the market research and talking to people, a few things became clear. First of all, there was a big call out, and this voice got louder the younger the recipients were. Do not make this a women's only problem to solve.
Right.
This needs to be available for everybody. This is not just a women's problem to solve. So this needs to be a gender neutral product. The second thing they said was, don't make me think of having to do something extra in my life. I want something that fits into my everyday world that I don't have to think about. I'm not going to necessarily go back and put a different nail polish on every time I want to go out. I'm not necessarily going to go back and stick on a nail. So what we worked together with was, okay, what do people have in their everyday lives that they don't have to think about? And of course, for most of us, that's the phone and or the keys. That's right. What you have with you. So that's where the product is today. And what Nick did was take this test and
I see it right now. You've got your cell phone.
Yeah.
You got a little case. I have my business cards in the back of my, because I'm always like, Jenna, trying to meet people.
Well, there's still room on the back of your phone for one of these.
Yeah. So what we're trying to say, because it is very hard to break habits of humans in general. Like, hey, this is a new thing. This is a new thing you got to do. And, you know, 10% of people might do it because they're into that trying new things. But the majority are going to say, hey, man, this is a hassle. I don't want to do all this. But I guess, like, condoms were a new thing at one point, and trying to figure out and taking the pill every morning is a hassle. But if it's important to you, I guess these are things that you would adjust your life to do. And so what you're saying is this
is not necessarily as intrusive or life-changing in your daily practice.
Yeah, I mean, when you're thinking about it too, it's always going to be with you whether or not you're, you know, prepared to go out. So say you have drinks after work come up, you know, you might not have your nail polish with you, or you may not have time to apply it. So this product has really taken the sort of the thinking and planning out of it, and it's just there for you all the time. And you may not even, you know, think about having it on you. It's just on your key ring or on your cell phone. But then when you need it and you're in that situation, which you can't really anticipate, you've got it. You can reach down, grab your phone, because you're nearly always going to have one or the other, I would say, if not both, between your cell phone and your keys.
And as you talk about, you know, behavioral change being not easy, and you know, you're absolutely right. What we not only did was we responded to what the consumer wanted, which was have it in my life, but also give me the choice as to how discreet I want this to be. And the beauty of what we have here is, one of the many beauties that we have here, is you can choose whether you want to show people that you've got this or not. And what's fascinating is, and certainly with all our market research and our focus groups, was the group that said, you know, I'm going to make sure that people can see what I've got on my phone, and I'm going to make sure that they know I care about protecting myself. And there were others that said, no, actually, I want to do it under the table, and I want to be discreet about it, because that makes me more comfortable. And
well, that brings up a big topic that I was going to get into. For one, I do like the idea of making it advertisable. It's basically like putting your alarm system flag in the front of your house saying, this house is protected by ADT. It's like the first step in preventative measures. Like, hey, man, I'm super aware of my drink and what could happen, so don't even try.
Don't mess with me.
Yeah,
it's like the shotgun effect, right? If you never want to actually fire a gun, carry a shotgun, because the moment you cock it, that sound, you know it's going to be okay, and everyone knows what's happening.
What do you say to the person that is on a date with a person who they like? That's why they're on a date, right? They like this guy. They like this gal. They think they're a really cool person. What would then give them the thought, like, I know I like you, but I'm still going to test my drink because I don't know? What's the answer to that?
It's individual. It's a feeling that an individual has. You cannot legislate for that. They've either seen something, either at the bar, or they've seen somebody else react, or something has happened to them that has made them feel uneasy.
Right.
And when we talk to people about, you know, give us the use case, how would you use this? It is entirely personal. There are the group of people, and it is polarized. There are a group of people that say, look, I don't go out very often, and I'm just going to test every drink.
Right.
There's the group of people that say, I don't drink alcohol, so I'm safe. And we say,
and that's foolish because, like, I just drink coffee right now.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And this tests in non-alcoholic beverage. So and then there's the other group that said, look, I go out all the time, and I'm certainly not going to test every drink because that's crazy.
I'd go broke.
Exactly.
Because these cost money.
They do. Yeah. They do. So, and there's the other group that says, I'm just not going to test every drink. I'm going to know. And I already know that. If I analyze how I already know that. If I'm already putting a beer mat to cover my glass, it's because I've already had that feeling, and I know that's not enough to protect me. Mm-hmm. This gives me the opportunity to protect myself, and I'll do it when I feel the need. It is a one-time use, and you know it's very easy to have in your back pocket or whatever, because it is essentially like the size of a quarter. You can have it as a coin, so you can use as many as you want. But I think what we're hearing more than anything is once we've tested the drink, and even if it's okay, something's happened in that environment that we probably just want to bug out and go somewhere else for the rest of the evening. So we feel safe because we've done something to protect ourselves, but we're not necessarily going to stay in that bar. It's a personal thing.
Right.
And what we've asked our consumers to do is talk to us, give us that feedback. Let's create a community where we can help protect each other and make this a much bigger movement than one person buying a diagnostic test for themselves. Mm-hmm. And we're too new yet to have testimonials back other than people who have been survivors of DFSA, and it's much, much bigger than any of us really want to understand. A, because it's an underreported crime, and B, because the statistics are horrific. 1 in 13 freshmen are currently survivors. And as I say, some are not. Some don't survive because of the combination. And so as we start getting stories in, we will share them with the permission of our consumers to say, this is how we've used it, and this is what we felt like, and this worked. And the only so far independent person who went out and used it and talked about it was in a magazine where the reporter, we saw her online. She bought the product completely independently, had no communication with us whatsoever, tested it, used it, and wrote about it and said, I feel so empowered because I was able to enjoy my evening without worrying about it. And that's all we want.
Yeah.
Well, what's wonderful about in this format versus, you know, a nail or a nail polish is that it's transferable as well, right? If I have a friend go out, and she's going on a first date and she already feels maybe a little uneasy, is going somewhere without, or, you know, a male friend, I see something happen at a bar and I'd like to test his drink for him.
Right.
You know, I can do that, right? It's not, it's shareable, it's transferable, sure. And I can buy it in a multi-pack, is that correct?
Correct, yes. 3, 5, or 10-pack.
Mm-hmm. Playing the devil's advocate here. If I was so inclined to put something in someone's drink, I would say, let's not put it in the first drink. She's sober. She's got her wits about her. Her faculties are straight. She's going to notice if I do something or whatever, but whatever it might be. I'm going to wait till she has her third drink, where she's maybe not herself, and she's having her first drink, and she tests it, and it comes out fine. She might have a false sense of security, so then she has the second one, and then maybe she runs to the bathroom and has the third one, and that's where I strike. So, again, just playing devil's advocate, but is there any solution to this problem? Are we testing every single drink? Is it advisable?
You know, if you're aware of your drink's sort of... the history of your drink, if you've been watching it.
Vulnerability.
The whole time. You know, you have at least a sense of that first drink or two that you've had your hand on the whole time. But let's say you do get up to go to the bathroom and you forget to bring your drink with you, or it's just not appropriate. Mm-hmm. Once you've sort of lost that chain of custody of your drink, you know, this is there so you can check. When you haven't been
able
to...
That would be the ideal drink to test.
Yes, yeah.
Is the one you left alone.
The one that you didn't have in your sight or in your hand the whole time.
That's a great answer. That makes sense.
I would also argue that a person who is nefarious enough to spike a drink probably has done his or her research out there and knows exactly what that product is more than anybody else would. Because, you know, if you were a criminal and you were about to do something illegal, you've probably gone and done your research as to how you're going to get caught. And I would assume, or I would imagine if you were a intelligent person that or an intelligent criminal, that seeing that would probably be signal enough that I'm not going to risk it because it is illegal.
Well, I want to pick up on something that you said, which I think is incredibly valid. You talked about this being like an alarm sign, right?
Yeah,
like the burglar alarm or the ADT spike in the ground that says this house is covered. This is that for your body.
Mm-hmm.
So Sophia, you're right. You know, if I'm the perpetrator here, I'm seeing that and I'm thinking twice about, this is in exactly the same way as one hopes. Everything signaling our property being alarmed. This is your body alarm. This is that says I'm not going to expose myself to being raped or robbed or any other crime that you want to commit because you've drugged me.
Yeah.
So one hopes that kind of over time, certainly as it gets more recognized, people will understand.
I want to ask Sophia, especially as a business owner, someone who is a leader in this community, has a voice in this community, her opinion of what her role is in this industry regarding DFSA, and your thoughts on it. But first, I do have to say a word from our sponsor. We do have someone new that just came on. Her name is Laura Harris. She is a restaurant industry preferred agent. She is there to help you buy and sell homes, but she is gearing herself to help the food and beverage community, which is why she's on our show, because many of the people listening to the show for any reason are in the business, love the business, work hard in this business, and are probably aware of what we're talking about today right now. But regarding if you're looking for a new house, you're looking for a new place, she gets it. Everybody in this business works crazy hours, works really long, really hard hours. So her biggest focus is to help those to save time, money, hassle. She herself worked in the business for 17 years and then now is an agent, a realtor. And if you do actually buy a house or sell a house with Laura Harris, she then gives you a $1,000 kickback, which we like to affectionately call beer money. And so if you want to contact Laura, go to ncfbhomes.com. That'll take you from our site straight to her, and you'll get all of her contact information. Or you can just simply use the good old telephone, and her number there is 919-896-2697. That's 919-896-297. Or go to ncfbhomes.com. Laura Harris, your restaurant industry preferred agent. Powered by Fathom Realty. So, Sophia, why is it relevant for you to take a stand and be a voice?
Absolutely. So ever since meeting Barbara, I've been sort of, it's been on my mind. I've been chatting with everybody about Undercover Colors. I have not stopped talking about Undercover Colors, actually. Yeah. And you know, in this business, it is cross socioeconomic, cross race. It's cross every you know, there's so much diversity, right? Every category. And so I've been chatting with my front of house staff, my back of house staff, and customers who come into the restaurant. And you know, in that short amount of time between when I met Barbara and now, chatting with people, it's been amazing how many people have told me either experiences of their own or people that they know. And it just brings to light, I think, how underreported it is as a statistic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how under-talked about it really is. And what's really surprising, maybe for me, perhaps not for Barbara or Nick, is that of all the stories that I've heard, only one of them was actually about a female. Every other one was male-related, and they were either embarrassed to talk about it at the time or report it, or they didn't remember enough to feel like they could report it. And I just was floored that this was something that, as Barbara says, is happening in 2018, right? And not only that, many of the stories were in this area. It wasn't a big city. It was in our neighborhood, and it's in our restaurants and in our bars. And I take very seriously whenever anyone comes into an establishment, right, as you're providing a service for them. So they are trusting you with their time, with their money, and also with their health, right? Anything that they're putting in their body that you were producing, they're trusting you that you did that in a safe way. And if they, like I, you know, if they have serious allergies, that is something that I take very seriously when they come into the restaurant.
I only have a mammalian diet now. I don't eat mammals. That's my favorite one.
That That's actually is thing. One we've gotten.
Oh, yes. I know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't eat mammals, really, people. Really, that's the thing.
Now, to be honest, as Sophia says, there really isn't anything that surprises us anymore.
Sorry, just sometimes you had to break the levity.
No, absolutely. No, I know, this is heavy.
But, well, and, you know, and that's the thing. So we talked about, you know, in this business, we're certainly not trying to preach. We're all about enjoyment, all about a good time. And creating a fantastic product, and there are so many fantastic products coming out of North Carolina. But what happens when someone threatens that, when someone uses your fantastic product as a vector to do something nefarious to a person who's in your establishment? At what point do you have a responsibility to protect them as you would from an allergy or from, you know, sickness from eating your food? So in a lot of ways, you know, Barbara, I would love to have Undercover Colors in the restaurant, you know, whether in a vending machine or you can buy it in the restaurant. as a sign of, you know, for example, I could
walk into...
What
an upsell at the table. Would you like a cocktail? Maybe some dumplings and...
Would you like a little pack of undercover colors?
Well, absolutely. But you know, there are warehouses.
Be discreet. Absolutely. Yeah, a little vending machine in the bathroom.
But there are warehouses that say, hey, yeah, we are a peanut-free facility. And I, as a if I were a person with a peanut allergy, I'd say, okay, I feel safe eating from this facility. Well, we are a bullshit-free environment.
Yeah.
And I think that Undercover Colors and a product like this says that.
And, you know, to the same point of what, getting back to the other idea of having it on the back of your cell phone or on your key ring and making it visible, if an establishment said, we proudly sell these discreetly in our restrooms on the window, you know, right next to your Yelp sign and your Travelocity sign, that might also be a key indicator that, like, and rapists be damned. You don't get to have cocktails here and pray on the week.
And that's where Sophia is an absolute trailblazer. And, you know, we love you for it. You know, she gets up early to get on a podcast to talk to about this. Let me tell you, that's our biggest barrier right now, is the fear that in schools, in restaurants, in bars, in hotels, including Vegas, where they are well aware this is happening, they don't want to talk about it in that moment, because what they're saying is, we don't want to scare people off at that point in time when they're coming to socialize, where they're coming to have fun, when they're coming to spend their money on entertainment. We don't want to scare them. And it's exact. You brought the condom example up earlier. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the same. You know, now nobody bats an eyelid about talking about condoms. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the day, people didn't. And it's a cultural change. It's a movement change. And it's programs like this and people like you and people like Sophia who say, hang on a minute. No bullshit, right? No bullshit. Let's just be totally honest here. And this idea that it's underreported, I will tell you, how many presentations have we done, Nick?
Over 100,
right?
Yeah.
North of 120. Yeah. We haven't had one, be that to parents, schools, investors, you name it, across the country. We have not had one where either before, during, or after people have come to us in multiples and said, I need to offload my story to you. Mm. And what you hear most of all in them, and in my interpretation, is guilt. People are ashamed that it's happened to them and somehow feel they've done something wrong and therefore don't want to talk about it. Plus, they can't remember. Mm. And what we're saying is, no, this doesn't have to be. We've got a solution for you. And let's partner with progressive, realistic, honest thinkers and business people like Sophia, who not only has an amazing product and an amazing restaurant in a glorious environment, she has all of that plus the kind of embracing of reality and wants to make her consumers safe or her guests safe. And, you know, long may they be more of you, because that's exactly what victims and survivors need.
I do want to go back to the process, right? That said, now you have it and you're at the bar and you're having your cocktails, and maybe it is the guy that came across the street. And I'm sorry, I'm just saying the guy. I'm just going to just use generalities at this point. But he just comes over. Nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. And he's an attractive person. You're like, oh, I like this conversation, where it's going. How do you broach that situation where you're like,
Would it help if we actually did the test? Would you like to see it? I realize as a podcast that is kind of... But in some ways, it's a bit like a prenup. Right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's in some ways, yes, I'll marry
you're handsome,
but,
yeah, you got a nice job.
But
just a little concerned, you look a little rapey.
A little rapey, you know, interesting.
If I was in that position, I'd probably just say, you know, the bartenders here creep me out a little bit. Do you mind, you know?
Deflect
it, yeah. But
and you know, that's interesting as well, because I spoke to a group of bartenders recently, and they said, can we please have these? Because we actually want to prove our professionalism and our innocence in this, because we get a bad rap with all the conversations that are happening. But here we have, for the viewers in black and white on the podcast,
yes,
here we have two sealed bottles, as you will verify.
Hold on, that's some pretty nice Sutter Home you got there.
Rosé. Yeah. And it's sealed. I just want to make sure that you can see that it's sealed.
No nefarious.
No funny business here. And here we have, and we can carry the, which ones have you brought?
This is Rohypnol.
This is illegal. Yep. This is an illegal drug, but we can carry it because Dr. Nick Letourneau here is authorized.
Now, it's illegal to produce it, have it, or distribute it, correct? Like, it's illegal in all forms.
Yeah, flunitrazepam. Yep.
Wow.
Rohypnol. So.
You better take that stuff with you. I don't want to be like...
He can't leave it anyway. He has to.
Yeah, so we'll start the day off here with the rosé and Rohypnol as our cocktail.
You know, and I will say, as a restaurant owner who also buses quite a bit, mm-hmm. that there are a number of cocktail drinks and glasses that we find in the bathroom. So I don't see any reason why you can't take your drink to the bathroom, test it very quickly, and come back.
I was kidding around, but I'm not really kidding that, well, dudes typically just always have their drink
absolutely.
With them.
Absolutely. Yeah,
because it's easy to put a beer on top of a urinal and whatever. That's just kind of like...
Do you even have to let go of the beer?
The guys that are pretty dexterous, you know, they got like the fly and the hole in the boxers. Yeah, you can hold the beer and go. But, you know, I was like kidding with my wife, but she's like, yeah, women don't take drinks to the bathroom because it's so hard to like, you have no place to put it, you know. And so I said, somebody should also just design a shelf with a sticker on it that says, girl, put your drink here.
There's a product out there, I believe. It's actually something that you can stick inside of the stalls that
yes.
is a little,
yes.
it's like either a wine glass holder or just a little shelf, but I don't know what it's called, but I have seen it.
If like establishments can provide certain things,
absolutely.
Then it just makes it easier. Just a rail in the bathroom, put your drink on there. There you go.
All right, so I've mixed up these drinks here. Can you tell any difference between the two glasses?
No, they equally look like horrible rosé.
Yeah, that's. This is not high-end wine here, but luckily that doesn't impact the performance of the test. It works in any wine you really need it to. So, just something to notice, there's no difference in color, there's no difference in smell, and likely taste for that matter. I haven't actually taste-tested them myself, but...
I'd suggest not doing that.
Yeah, I'm going to try
to avoid
that. Not
for the roofie.
Yeah.
For the Sutter Home of this.
Yeah, that's...
But wait a minute, are one of us going to actually drink this?
If you'd like. No. you have to take your...
I got shit to do, man. I can't be roofied in the afternoon.
Well, you better test the drink then. That's all I can say, right?
Yeah.
All right, so...
And Nick, you were saying before, you know, the,
yep.
the amazing thing about this product is it works in over 100 drinks, right? And
yeah.
that's something that's pretty incredible about the technology, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's something that's pretty difficult to accomplish, as experts in... food and beverage. I'm sure you can understand the complexity of different drinks, and you mentioned you're a sommelier.
Sure, yeah.
Well, in sorts.
I was at a time. I'm like the worst som at this point, but
well,
there was a time where I knew my shit.
Just imagine how different different wines can be and things like that, and that's due to the chemical composition of them.
Yeah.
So all these different drinks require basically a certain degree of normalization in order for our test to work. So that's one of the key points of our technology is no matter what beverage you're putting in, our chemistry can kind of adapt it for the test, make sure it's able to run and get the correct results. So,
I mean, that's incredible considering the number of things that are in cocktails, the number of drinks that are out there, right? I mean, you're talking about dairy,
yeah.
different viscosities, different
yeah.
amounts of sugar. I mean, that's just
Milk
incredible.
Milk was a bad choice.
Yeah. And that's one of our advantages over the other tests out there. There's some very simple tests that claim to detect certain date rape drugs, not the most common ones, which we detect. But they don't work in things like tonic water or dairy or things like that. So that's a major advantage of our technology.
Yeah, it didn't work in tonic water. That's like
right.
eliminating
yeah, right.
most drinks.
Yeah, who doesn't have a gin and tonic? All right, so peeled it back. So the point of the foil is it keeps the test stable. So mm-hmm. when it's outside of a package. Now, most lateral flow tests, they have to be used immediately once they're taken out of a foil pouch. This stable in your pocket right now for 90 days, and our testing is showing up to 6 months of stability, and that's continuing to rise. So pretty incredible on that front. But what you can do here is just take your test.
Actually submerge it in the drink. Yeah, that's what you're doing right there.
Dip it in the beverage.
So the one you dipped it in, spoiler alert, is the one I believe that does not
we'll
have.
We'll see. We'll see what the
yeah, we'll
the
have
test.
To we'll have to check it out. But
let's see.
So I don't know if
you can. No, it's so it's the size okay. of like a
so that
like
has two lines,
button.
Which right. means it's good.
Yep.
I mean, arguably good. It's still Sutter Home Rosé, but it's good for.
Aside from that, it doesn't have date rape drugs in it.
Okay.
No roofies.
Right.
And I think you can see those lines pretty clearly. We intentionally made the lines very intense in color, so that way you could see them even if it was in a dimly lit environment or something like that.
Yeah, and to the listeners at home or in the car or whatever in the bathroom, it's two lines like a pee strip that women use for pregnancy tests. It either comes up two lines or one line. So
yep.
now we're gonna test the other beverage, which I'm just gonna go out on a limb and say it might be the one that has roofies in it.
Process of elimination would tell us yes.
But I want to see the fact. Okay, so you just dipped it in.
Yep.
And we're talking about, you said about 27 seconds.
Yeah, to start seeing your results, if you look here.
Oh, perfect time for me to talk about Triangle Wine Company, where they don't have Sutter Home available. They might actually have Sutter Home. If you guys have Sutter Home over there, okay, I'm not going to judge. But Triangle Wine Company is one of our sponsors. They're near and dear to our hearts. They have great wine. We should have got some of their stuff because you can order online and it delivers to the studio if we needed to. Damn, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
We could be drinking some rosé from Spain, maybe like an Alsatian Riesling right now. But if you do want to go to Triangle Wine Company, go to trianglewineco.com. And they have four locations. They have three locations right now, Morrisville, Cary, and Southern Pines, and the fourth location in Holly Springs, soon to be open. When you do shop there, put in the promo code NCFB, and you'll receive 10% off all of your Sutter Home wines. So, again, trianglewineco.com. All right, that was probably 45 seconds of me ranting about nonsense. Let's see what happened.
Yeah, maybe take a look at those. And
that is a nice, bright, very clear one line.
Yep, so that's indicating there are roofies in this drink. So it's great to kind of have those two to compare next to each other because you can really see just how clear that difference is.
That's amazing. Now, and how many drugs will this test for?
So right now we're claiming six different drugs. So they're all different benzodiazepines. Your most common ones that you'll see in drug-facilitated sexual assault would be Xanax, and then you have Valium, and then Rohypnol. So those are the top three. It detects other lesser-known benzodiazepines as well. So those are all listed on our website in the FAQ section.
Wow. And what's the accuracy rate?
So over 99%. Right now we're sitting at 99.3%, and that's in over 8,500 medallions that have been tested.
I mean, right there, that's proof.
That's
it worked.
Pretty
incredible. I saw you poison the drink, and seconds later, it came up positive.
Well, wow. Even if I'm somewhat compromised, I can read those tests pretty well, too, even if I'm, three glasses in.
Three glasses in, yeah.
Well, and Sophia only needs to be like half a glass in.
that's where, aside from using this product, which obviously is – now we just proved works. If you're a bartender, you see what's going on in front of you. Any bartender worth their salt in this business kind of knows what's going on in the bar. They know that this dude's been here all night long. He came alone. These gals just came in here. Even if he did nothing wrong, but he's there and they leave their drinks unattended. As a bartender, maybe dump that cocktail and go, I saw a fly get in there, or whatever. Make a new one. I know it's not good for the at Mofu Shop, you probably don't want a bunch of cocktails being dropped and then remade again. But for the rare situations where it's kind of important, make a new cocktail. Do whatever. Or, hey, ladies, I got to go to the bathroom. Bartender,
yeah, you know what? Here, I'll just put these on the back bar and wait till you come back and grab those cocktails, take them away, put them, you know, in a safe area. If you can't trust your bartender, then who can't you trust? Or who can you trust? But I think that's the thing. That's the community. That's why a business owner is on the show right now, why Sophia is here, in addition to the scientists and the CEO and this guy that talks on a mic. It's a community that comes together and tries to figure out how can we solve what is an epidemic and a very widely unreported epidemic. Mm-hmm. So it's worse than you think is what we're saying.
And it's just one part of the solution, right? It's certainly not. We don't want this to be happening in the first place. A product like this shouldn't exist in the first place. But considering we're at this point, right, that you know, some gentlemen from NC State started off with the idea, and that just goes to show that it's a real problem, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is by no means a silver bullet that's going to stop this from happening.
Right.
But you're right. It's just one part of a wider social change and a change in the general mindset. If bars and hotels are concerned about voicing or demonstrating that they carry a test like this or they support undercover colors, we've got to change that. A customer should look and see, you know, the undercover colors logo in front of a store or a bar and say, I know I'm going to be safe there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of trying to change that mindset to encourage people to go to establishment which is willing to confront this problem.
All right, so here's where you got to tell us, how do we get this stuff?
Yep, so go to www.undercovercolors.com, and there you can purchase any of our three product offerings. We've got a trial pack that's three tests, mm-hmm. and two accessories. We've got a five-pack that's five tests and then four accessories, and then a 10-pack, which is a refill pack. Doesn't contain any of the accessories, but it just gets you the medallions that you need.
When you say accessories, are you talking about like the case or the keychain?
Yeah, so
iPhone case or whatever?
Yeah. Yep, talking about the phone accessory, mm-hmm. Which can stick on the back of any case.
Yeah.
This is basically a plastic.
It's a little sleeve or it's a little adhesive clip that goes on the back of your phone.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like the, you know, the adhesive business card holder, adhesive wallet that goes back there. And then there's a little key fob. So that just goes on your key ring, really inconspicuous. And those are the two.
But currently only available online on your website.
Yes, at this time.
Okay.
You know, as we grow, and, you know, we're only 7 or 8 weeks old now, out in the the market. You know, we'll expand the avenues that we can get this product to people, and we're working with partners now to do that.
So, and you might not be prepared to answer this, but just for the sake, if someone that's a business owner, maybe former guest of our show, we've had some amazing people on this show. This will be like the 128th or 25th episode. So there's most of the people that have been on the show are in some ways business leaders in this area. If someone wanted to contact you and say, hey, I wanna put these in my establishment. I wanna put a dispenser in there or whatever. You may not have the answer for me right now, but is that something that we could work on?
Yes, absolutely. You can contact us through the website, you know, or you can contact us directly. Our phone number is listed on the website as well. But that's something we're actively working on right now, is establishing those partnerships. We've got the agreements ready and things like that. So, you know, if people want to purchase these at sort of a wholesale price and then offer them or purchase them in bulk to give them away.
Yeah.
We are fully prepared to do that.
Thank you so much for being on the show. It was a pleasure having you.
I would say right back at you. Thank you, Sophia. As I said, getting up early in the morning as a restaurateur, I know is hideous, and you've done that for us. You've made this connection. Thank you. And thank you to you for allowing us to be here. It's important, and we value this contribution. Thank you.
Sophia, do you have anything else to add before we get out of here?
Oh, just thank you, as always, for lending your time and letting me chat your ear off about something that I feel strongly about, and supporting and communicating this to everyone in our industry.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you bringing it in. And seriously, like, to all the people that have been on the show before, don't be shy about bringing us great concepts. I get emails all the time of what should be on the show next and what we should do. This is great. We can only talk to so many chefs. You know, but with that said, if you listen to the show, if you're a fan of the show, please write us a review, get on iTunes. That's probably the best place to do it. Anywhere you find podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. But when you write a review, it helps SEO, search engine optimization, which means that by writing that review, we pop up more in search feeds and people can understand and access it easier. So be a friend, be a bro, be a gal. Help support the NCF&B podcast, and we'll continue to bring you great shows like this. I hope you all enjoyed it. Please leave us comments on our social media at NCFBpod. If you have any questions, please bring them to our attention. And I'd love to get your feedback, especially on this topic today, and if things like this are things we should be discussing more often in the future. But thank you. So for Sophia, for Barbara, for Nick, thank you for being here. And we hope to see you all soon. If Matt was here, do you remember what Matt's tagline is?
Eat and drink merrily.
Just like you're from Long Island. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the NCF&B podcast. And if you've stuck with us this long, review us on iTunes, and remember, 5 stars are encouraged.